Please stand for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Lazarus of Bethany, brother of Mary and Martha, was ill. The sisters sent to Jesus to tell him. Jesus waited for 2 days, and then he told his disciples, Lazarus is dead. Let us go to him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, so how do you love him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's good to hear your word. May it fill us. May we remember it. May we understand it. And may we hold it in our hearts. Pray this morning that through your Holy Spirit, you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to hear your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me my sins. They are many, and I am unworthy to teach, but you, Holy Spirit, have given me this proclaim. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
I love the well-worn passages of Scripture. One of them was this morning's Old Testament reading. The bones, them dry bones. And I would have probably preached on that. But instead, the gospel this morning is equally well-worn. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. For context, we really need to go back to John chapter 10, verse 27. If you have your Bibles with you, you might want to go back to there as we go forward eventually. And that if you don't have your Bible, there is one there with you somewhere in that row. So John 10, 27. Speaking in Jerusalem, and Jesus has been in Jerusalem for a little while at this point, he said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand, but my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Jesus clearly declares that he is God. He is God, and the Jews who are listening know that that's exactly what he has said. And they have a dilemma. They have a dilemma. If he is God, the Messiah, and they go against him, they go against God. We'll learn in Acts later on, the great teacher of their time, Gamaliel, said as much. When Peter and John were brought before them, and he said, they brought before the Sanhedrin, and he said this, "I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Because if this plan or undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. And in that case, you may even find yourself fighting against God." Guess what, folks? It didn't fail. Didn't fail. Gamaliel was talking about all of the different people during that era that claimed to be Messiah, and they disappeared off the screen in a matter of little time. Back to Jesus in the temple. He's thrown down the gauntlet. He declares, "I am God. What do you plan to do about it?" And with this, there's a spiritual principle for our time. The true, one, holy, apostolic, Catholic Church, that is universal church, of Jesus Christ, has declared Jesus is God. What is our culture going to do about that? What are they going to do about it? You see, we in the church, at some point, need to set aside all of our divisions and focus on that one truth. Jesus is God. So the Jews take their position. John 10:31. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. But before they can, Jesus makes one last effort to convince them. They decide that they like the status quo, and before they can arrest Jesus, he escapes. One more thing that we need to touch on before we get to Lazarus. It's easy to miss. In John 10:40-42, it says, Jesus went away again across the Jordan. And so he's left Jerusalem. He's gone across the Jordan where John had been baptizing, and he remained there. Many came to him, and they were saying, John performed no signs, but everything that John said about this man was true. And many believed it. So we don't want to think that his arguments weren't heard. Many did hear, followed him out of Jerusalem. Even of Jews stayed because they liked the life they were living. Sometime later, while the disciples, both old and new, are learning at the feet of Jesus, word comes that his dear friend and disciple Lazarus is gravely ill. As Francis read, Jesus delayed 2 days before he and the disciples leave for Bethany. With that, let's dig in. We're at John 11:18. First, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. Look at John 11:18-20. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Notice that Martha went out to meet him. So often we wait, and then we wonder, where's God in any given situation? It may be a moment of tragedy. It may be a horrific thing. It may just be that we're having a tough time and we're upset. I want you to know this. We need to go to him. Mary did. She didn't wait. She didn't wait and twiddle her thumbs and say, oh me, oh my, poor Lazarus is dead, and I wonder where Jesus is. What is he doing? When she came, she went to him and she met him. And like Martha, we need to be honest with God and tell him how we feel when we do go to him. Don't hold back. God can handle it. You mad at him? Tell him. Are you hurting? Tell him. Tell him the deepest things of your heart. Don't hold back. Martha told him, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. She was broken in heart, and since this has been 4 days, maybe more, since he became ill, she's probably physically exhausted and broken. Mm-hmm. Also notice that this time it's Martha who goes looking for Jesus, not Mary, who sat at his feet. An interesting reversal of personalities. You remember the story of Martha was in the kitchen working. She said to Jesus, tell Mary to get in here with me. I've got 4 pots, and 2 of them are boiling, and the next 2 are going to be boiling any time, and I can't do it. Mary's sitting there. She's learning. It's funny. So Jesus, as he does so well, he seeks to use this as a teaching opportunity. Jesus is always teaching when he's there on earth, when he's on earth. He wants his disciples to learn, because when he leaves, they're going to have to remember what he taught them. Why? So that they can put it down where his word down. God's word down so that we would have it, because we didn't need to see him. Look at verses 21 through 24. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, I think there's a long pause before this next sentence. Some of the things that we miss in Scripture are the realities of how it probably would have come. But it is speculation, after all. But we do know, she then said, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. You notice, she still hasn't got it. She still hasn't gotten it. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. She was, after all, a Pharisee, had learned Pharisaically that the dead would rise. Jesus, in his compassion, must have been a little disappointed. He had been teaching and teaching from Galilee to Jerusalem, in public places and in homes, even in the home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Did she not understand? Second, not only did Martha go out to meet Jesus, he tells her straight out who he is. Verses 24 through 27. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. I want you to notice that her reply to Jesus' question is straightforward. She does get it. It's similar to the reply that Peter gave when Jesus said, who do people say I am? And after they give this laundry list, he says, well, but who do you say I am? And Peter jumps in before anybody else could say something, because Peter likes to be first. And Peter jumps in and he says, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. Martha says that. And he says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? You know, I'd be amiss if I didn't ask this question of all of us who are here today. Do you believe this? I mean, do you really believe this? Because if you don't, please use your Sundays another way. You know, relax, sleep in. But if you really believe this, think about Martha. She's emotionally, spiritually, and physically just lost it. She is all in. She's giving all she has in her answer. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And notice she's no longer asking Jesus to do anything for Lazarus. She's not asking anymore. Why? Because she realizes it's all about her relationship to Jesus, not what Jesus can do for her. Say that again. It's all about her relationship with Jesus, not what he can do for her. We are often caught up in asking God for stuff, for things, for changes, to get us out of this terrible situation we're in. But stop and remember, consistent with our theme of Lent this year, our theme of contemplative reflection, do we often enough stop asking for whatever and tell him
that we believe in him, that we love him. You see, it's the relationship that matters. It's not what God can do for us. We got that backwards. A lot of churches who I do have to wonder whether they do believe. A lot of churches, it's what God can do for you. Some churches, they tell you that God will make you healthy, wealthy, and wise if you only believe that that's what he wants to do. They don't say anything about a relationship with Jesus. And then, by the way, they say, and oh, yes, if you'll give. Give till it hurts. I don't think that's in the book. You see, it's all about the relationship. It's that that matters. And everything else will fall away when we get to heaven. None of the stuff that we have and none of the stuff that hurts us emotionally and none of the stuff that we struggle with will matter. It just won't. Jesus is very clear about who he is. He is God. He is life itself. Life wouldn't even exist if God had not desired to be in a relationship beyond the Trinity. He is also life in that it is through him that eternal life is provided. It's given as a gift. Third, not only did Martha go out to meet Jesus, and not only does he tell her straight out who he is, Jesus wept. I don't like the other translations. I just don't. The King James has it right. I looked carefully at the original. It just says, Jesus wept. Don't ever think that God doesn't care. Don't ever think that God doesn't care. There is nothing that we go through that God doesn't care about. But what he really cares about is us, the situation. Sometimes we've gotten ourselves in that situation. Sometimes that situation is something that couldn't have been avoided. Sometimes it just happened. Don't ever think that God doesn't care. There is nothing that we go through that God doesn't care. And Jesus was not concerned about others seeing his emotions. What is it about us that somehow we think it shows the strength of our faith, by saying, we don't need to cry. I don't need to cry because I know where they are. I don't need to cry because I know that God will see me through this. I don't need to cry. You know, grief is a real emotion that God gave us. Sometimes crying is emotionally healthy. It just cleanses you. Those tears, sobbing. There's nothing wrong with that. Please understand that. And for heaven's sakes, if you're around somebody and they're crying, don't tell them it's okay. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus just wept. He just wept. Are we better than Jesus? It's very much a cultural effect to keep our emotions in check. Other cultures don't do that. Sometimes I've heard people be very derogative of Middle Eastern and Far Eastern cultures to see them just wailing at these funerals. And they go, oh, come on, really? No, actually, that's real. What you're saying isn't. You don't understand. as the English put it, he was stiff up a little. Now, that's another one of those things I don't understand how you do.
How do you make people stiff up a little? Can't talk or do that.
While there may be no crying in baseball, there is crying in real life, even for believers. Jesus said so, or more importantly, he demonstrated that it's okay. Look at verses 35 through 39. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And it says that Jesus was once more deeply moved. And he came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. I wonder if Jesus had a sense of, well, this is my end, how it's going to look. I don't know. We're not told. He said, "Take away the stone." His command is direct and fully confident. He knew exactly what he was going to do for the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. By the way, on a side note, I believe there are two reasons that Jesus wept. First, I think that Jesus wept because Martha and Mary thought he had let her down. And it hurt him deeply for them to have thought he didn't care. Remember, he stayed away for two more days after he was told. And then it took a while to get from where he was to Bethany. It hurts him when we think that he has let us down. He hasn't. But we are human and self-centered, and hopefully as we mature in Christ, we become a little less self-centered. But there is still that old self. Second, I think that Jesus wept because he knew that by raising Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus would have to die again. He would have to die again. When Lazarus dies the second time, he was translated immediately into the presence of God, into the presence of Jesus, his friend and Savior. No one would have to remove the grave clothes. He didn't have to go to Sheol, the place of the dead, to wait. He was particularly present with the Lord. Couple last notes. Do you remember when Moses was God's instrument for dividing the Red Sea? There is a point to this, by the way. Exodus 14:13-14. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord, of what the Lord would accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to keep still." By the way, where is Egypt on the list of powerful nations? Toward the bottom, definitely. In fact, what God said is true. The Egyptians whom you see today, at that time the most powerful nation in the world, you shall never see again. I'm a child of the cinema and TV. I'm sorry, I can't help it. TV was always on in our house, whether anybody was watching it or not. And I can't help but hear Charlton Heston. You know, in the Ten Commandments, he's got his staff there, and he's holding it, and he puts it toward the sea, and then he goes, "Behold the mighty hand of God." Really dramatic. I mean, if you're going to do a miracle, do it right. And Charlie had it. But Jesus exhibits no such drama. He doesn't do that. He says, take away the stone. It was very matter of fact. The Greek for take away is arate, which is in the second person plural, which by the way means you all take it away. The stone is obviously too big for one person to move. In addition, it's in the active imperative. I hope you English majors are proud of me for this. It's a command. It means do it now without any thought or hesitation. But it's not dramatic. It just is. As God, Jesus knew the Father would fully support what he was about to do. Look at verses 41 and 42. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always heard me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. By the way, the word knew there is in the aorist, which means it's in the past tense, in the present tense, and in the future tense. We don't have anything like that in English. We need something like that because that is so cool. That he is saying, I know, I have always known, I will always know that you listen to me. When Jesus rose from the dead, no one could have moved that stone. We know that. It was the power of his resurrection that moved the stone that humans could not. And then finally, the last thing necessary in the miracle, verses 43 and 44. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! Directly, not dramatically, just emphatically. The dead man came out and his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. The Greek for Lazarus come out is Lazare, duro etso. It's personal. It's very personal. Has Jesus lost it? Most of the people around there must have been going, whoa, this guy's over the top, he really thinks he's God. Guess what they're about to discover? It is. He's telling a dead man to come out of a cave and stay in for 4 days. Think about that from a human perspective first, before you realize what's happening. Lazarus, come outside, is the literal for the Greek. Come outside. You're in there. It's silly for you to be in there. I want you to come out and be with the rest of us. Come outside. It's an interjection, an exclamation. And indeed, this miracle has an exclamation point. So the point of this whole thing is hopefully clear. Jesus is God. What are those around us going to do about it? What are our wayward children going to do about it? What about our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors? What are they going to do about it? Because right now, they're ignoring it. This culture ignores it. And that's on a good day. Most of the time, it is very, very negative, almost hateful. The reality is we can dance around this and say, well, I don't want to push them away. I don't want to upset them. But the reality is they're already away. You don't have to push them. They're already away.
Is there anything in anybody in this nation that has not heard this truth? There may be some, but I have to tell you, I doubt it. I doubt that there is no one who has heard that Jesus is God. And they have a choice. They have to decide. We can sort everything else out once they've taken their position. But know this, we do not know the seasons or the time, and Jesus may tarry until long after all of us are in eternity with him. And if we don't press the issue in love and out of love, I'm not talking about going to them and taking their Bible and saying, I'm going to beat you over the head with this book until you understand. No, that's not what they're doing. We do it in love and out of love. I say this because I love you. Because if we don't, many of those that we love may not be with us in eternity. I know not what others say, but I echo the words of Joshua. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will not serve the gods of mankind. We will testify that Jesus is Lord in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.